Hello, this is Elizabeth Hoxbergen with EduNurture, and today I'm very excited to share with you a little bit about self-efficacy. What is self-efficacy? What happens when a child has low self-efficacy? What happens when a child has really good self-efficacy? And of course, if self-efficacy is poor, what are some things we can do to increase or help the child build their self-efficacy? So self-efficacy comes from the work of Dr. Albert Bandura and his work on social learning theory. And in his work, he talks about self-efficacy as one's belief in their ability to put the necessary things in place, organize the supports, and do the work in order to accomplish something. And self-efficacy is domain specific. So how does this relate to our children? Your child may have very good self-efficacy, for instance, with playing baseball. He or she may feel like, hey, I know what to do to be successful in the field. I know how to hit the ball well. I've had past successes, and I know moving forward with this season, I'm also going to be successful. Self-efficacy is your view of your ability to be successful moving forward. And as I mentioned, it's domain specific. So while a child may have good self-efficacy in baseball, he or she may have very poor self-efficacy when it comes to math facts or writing down assignments or whatever the case might be. So your self-efficacy or the self-efficacy of your child will definitely vary according to the domain you're dealing with. But let's take a quick moment before we dive in any further and examine the difference between self-efficacy and self-esteem. People often confuse or kind of consider the two the same, whereas they're not the same. While self-efficacy is your belief in your ability to be successful in something moving forward and to put all the necessary organizational things and materials and whatever you need to do to be successful with that upcoming task, self-esteem relates to your view of your own value and self-worth. Self-esteem is really your self-respect, how you see yourself and what kind of value you have. It is true that self-efficacy can feed into self-esteem, but self-esteem is a very broad construct, and it really relates to one's own respect for their value and worth as a person. So what does good self-efficacy look like? If your child or you have good self-efficacy, here are some of the positive features you're going to see. One, your child will be willing and interested and able to plan the task. Two, they're going to be able to arrange the variables to facilitate their success. Three, they're going to believe before they even start, yes, I can do this. Next, they're also going to be willing to put in the time and effort to complete the task. And of course, they're going to just have more wherewithal to follow through. They're going to have better persistence overall. And of course, they're going to have a better attitude about doing the work. And last but not least, good self-efficacy in a particular area tends to beget or give life to more good self-efficacy for the next time. But sometimes our child, or we in particular, do not have good self-efficacy. We have low self-efficacy for a task. Let's go back to reading for a moment. What if your child has low self-efficacy for reading? What are you going to observe? Well, first of all, they're going to feel overwhelmed just by the thought of needing to do the reading. They feel like the task is simply impossible. In fact, you may see anxiety. You may see them feel anxious and worried and definitely want to avoid the task. They tend to have, in some cases, if the self-efficacy is really low, almost an aversion, a general distaste for the task. Also, you might just see a poor attitude, just a disgust with the task. They want nothing to do with it. I can't stand doing that. I'm no good at it anyway. I'm not going to do it. And of course, when you finally do get them to do it, they often do a poor job. They don't want to do it. They don't believe they're able to do it. And they don't really engage their emotional or mental energies to be successful. And of course, this all then leads to lower self-efficacy, because the more you fail or don't succeed with a task, that adds to your self-perception that you're not capable of doing the task. It's just like those of us as adults, me included, who have tried this diet and that diet and this food program and that exercise program, and we haven't succeeded. We just end up with low self-efficacy when it comes to losing weight. I'm right there. Back to self-efficacy for children. What can we do when we have a little one in our home or in our classroom who has really poor self-efficacy? And let's continue with the example of reading, because we all know that reading is critical and crucial for all aspects or most aspects of life success. If you have a child or a student in your classroom who has low self-efficacy, here are some basic steps to help them improve their self-efficacy. First, take the time one-on-one to talk with them about why the task feels so hard, feels like it's not possible. Next, talk with them about a plan. Sit down and put on paper the plan for helping them improve their reading skills. Thirdly, work shoulder to shoulder and help them build their reading skills. Doesn't have to be in long chunks, it can be in short segments, but they need someone to sit down with them and help them take the baby steps to tackle the task. If someone feels overwhelmed by a task and they have low self-efficacy, one of the key things to consider is working with them and actually holding their hand, so to speak, to help them become more successful with that particular task. The more you spend one-on-one time helping them work through the task, the more they will gradually become more independent. Let's take a quick side trip to cleaning a room. If your child's bedroom is messy and you've asked them to clean it up, but they're overwhelmed, they don't seem to get started, they put it off, they're grumpy, they just don't want to do it, or they don't seem to be able to start the task, it's really best to go in and start doing the task with them, step by step. Even if you don't finish the task, do the work together. If there's dirty laundry, I like to say, okay, let's spend the next 2 minutes picking up as many dirty clothes as we can, and we're going to put them in this basket. Then we're going to take this trash can and we're going to find all the trash and we're going to make baskets and toss it in the trash can. You get the point. Spend shoulder to shoulder time with them actually doing the task together, because they just don't feel up to doing the task on their own. They don't envision that they're capable. They feel overwhelmed by the task and they need someone to spend shoulder to shoulder quality time executing the task while supporting them and cheering them on each step of the way. So let's go back to our list. How do we encourage self-efficacy when self-efficacy is low? So we're going to talk through why it feels difficult and hard first. Secondly, we're going to write down and make a plan with the child of what we're going to help them do to become better at the task. Next, we're going to spend shoulder to shoulder time helping them complete the task or at least do part of the task successfully. And then the child needs to hear you or another adult who has success with this particular area, such as reading, saying to them, I am confident that you are able to become a better reader. I believe in you and I see the potential in you to become a very good reader. Part of building good self-efficacy is for the individual to hear someone they believe in and someone who's already successful at that particular task or area telling them, yes, you can. You are able to do this. And even though you can't do it yet, you're going to get to the place where you can read and read with success and skill. Also, remember, just like good self-efficacy gives life to more good self-efficacy, small successes as you're working on building self-efficacy will help engender greater self-efficacy. So, self-efficacy is generative. That means that if you have low self-efficacy, if something doesn't happen to help turn the tide, that low self-efficacy will lead to even lower self-efficacy over time, or very likely will. By the same token, good self-efficacy with continued successes in that particular area will also engender greater self-efficacy or has the potential to do so. So what's the moral of the story? We have to help our children improve their self-efficacy. Yes, if a child's struggling with reading, we can't just sit down and give them encouraging words and suddenly they magically become a successful reader. Oh no, they're going to need high quality, high fidelity, structured literacy delivered with frequency and fidelity and intensity over a good period of time by someone who's highly skilled in structured literacy, which is rooted in the science of reading. Yes, they're going to need all of that. But we open the gateway through self-efficacy, because if the child's heart is closed to their own potential and they don't believe in their ability to actually become a successful reader, it will be difficult, even with very high-powered structured literacy intervention, to make the headway you need to on a neurological level. Because you see, learning always starts with the heart, and self-efficacy is an issue of the heart. You must help the child open their belief system to their own potential in whatever area you're working on in order for the intervention to take root in fertile soil. To help our children cultivate their authentic potential, we need to be mindful about which areas they struggle with self-efficacy. Identify those skill areas or types of tasks for which they appear to have low self-efficacy, and then go about the business of helping them build better self-efficacy. And remember, learning always starts with the heart.